My biggest thing is to keep dreaming. People, they'd be like, oh, you're doing what? Oh, interesting. And a lot of comments like, oh, is Julie still doing that cute little blog thing where she cooks or whatever?
Welcome to the Booked Out with Bree podcast. I'm your host, Bree Kane, and I'm a mom of three young girls who decided to unapologetically claim my dream life, the six-figure business, the freedom to have random ice cream dates with my girls at 1 p.m., or hire a babysitter for some alone time. I help women and moms claim all of themselves, be all of themselves, and live their biggest, boldest lives unapologetically. If you're ready to book out your business and your life with joy, fun, and ease, let's jump into this episode.
All right, we are here today and I have a super special, exciting guest with us. And I'm so excited to bring her on because I know a lot of us are in the same boat where we're balancing motherhood and business and life. And we want to make sure that taking care of our families doesn't slip through the crack. But there's a hard way and an easier way to do it. And my special guest today, Julie Evink, has really cracked the code on how to joyfully and simply serve your family with delicious, healthy food that doesn't have to take hours in the kitchen. Julie, I'm so happy that you're here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us all about you. How did you get into the world of cooking and cookbooks and food?
Well, I'm Julie and I'm married and I have three kids and I live in Midwestern Minnesota. And I am a food blogger and I started in 2010 and I kind of call myself the grandma of food blogging because it wasn't a thing. Like, it was just a whim. I started it and it's progressed from there. And I'm what, 14, almost 14 years into it. So yeah, I feel like I've been in the trenches. I've grown a food blog while having three kids. I was newly married and I worked full time and things have like evolved and progressed from there. But I'm at a point where I think I haven't pretty balanced, but there was definitely points in my life where I did not have it balanced.
Yeah, I mean, the joys of life, right? It's a constant balance and refinement. Okay, let's go back to the fact that you are OG food blogger, because I think that is where, like, as I grew up and got into adulthood and started cooking for myself and then eventually my family, it was always like, go to the internet, go to Pinterest, find the recipes. How did you connect the dots before you started your blog of like, this is a way to share with the world what I'm doing and my love of food and cooking?
I read literally one food blog because there was no Pinterest. Like, literally all there was Facebook when I started. So I read one food blog. I don't know how I came across it. And I had went to school. I had a bachelor's degree in hotel restaurant management. So like cooking was kind of like something I enjoyed. I grew up on a farm. My mom had dinner on or supper on the table at 6:30 every night. And like, that was our family time. And like, we were always welcomed in the kitchen. And I remember making cakes and cupcakes with my friends when we were older. And that was just kind of the thing. And so people had been asking me for some recipes. Instead of writing them out on a recipe card, for some reason, I figured it'd be easier to start a website and put them on there. I mean, totally illogical, right? So that's how it all started. And like, you'd have one photo, you'd like, I had a point, like snap, like old, like a pink camera, you know, and that was the trend. And it was digital, but you'd put like one picture in your recipe and that's all there was to it. It was glorious.
Oh my gosh. Well, gosh. And I even think too of just from then to now and like the food blogs, it's, you know, a picture documenting every step and like this whole long article before you even get to the recipe. My, how it's changed.
Yes, it's definitely a lot more intense nowadays.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, let's go back to before, like childhood. How did you realize that this was your real true passion? I know you shared a little bit about like your mom would have dinner and you'd cook and bake together, but when did you realize you could turn it into your career?
That actually came several years after I started the blog because when I started, there was no monetization. Like, I remember sitting in my mom's living room and I was kind of embarrassed I had this food blog because no one was doing it. It was this kind of weird thing. And like I could talk to my mom and like my little brother, and that was about it about it, and my husband, but he didn't know anything about it. And I was like, told my little brother, I'm like, this person made like $100 on their food blog in 1 month. Like, if they can do it, I can do it. And he's like, okay. And that's kind of where the bug bit me. As I like started having children and stuff, I've enjoyed sharing food with people. That's kind of my, like, I think it's the eighth love language, right? That's how I show people I care about them, is to make them something, bring them a meal. When you grow up in rural Minnesota, I mean, somebody has a baby, you bring them food. Somebody passes away, you bring them food. That's just what you do. New neighbor, you bring them food. So I think that's where it started, and then it kind of evolved into like, how do I want to raise my family? What are like my goals in life? And like, looking back, mom, I always tease her because I'm like, you showing up and making a supper every single night was just feeding us to you. But to me, it was like, it was more than that. And looking back, I realized that. And I'm like, thank you for showing up and doing that for our family. And because that's where like the real conversations hit. Like, there was three kids. I have two brothers, one older, one younger. And it was like, my dad farmed and he'd come in and like, we'd talk about farming. We'd talk about what's going on in our life. Like, I think that's where I got my business mind because everything was just open. Like, we just discussed everything. And like, I wanted to create that for my family. So I think that's where like teaching families how to make easy meals where they can do that and it's not a stress on their life became really important to me.
I love that. So it's almost like food is the catalyst to connection and conversation and spending really meaningful time together as a family.
100%.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Amazing. Okay, so tell us now, because you are about to launch a new cookbook. And by the way, you guys, I got an early copy of it and it's amazing. Like 4 out of the 5 dinners that I planned for this week are from the cookbook. And I'll report back. I'm so excited. Tonight I'm making. Oh my gosh, what am I making tonight? Is it the stuffed pepper casserole?
Oh,
Oh,
yes.
so good.
Yes.
Yes. But so tell us like how you took starting to a blog in 2010 to where you're at now and you have cookbooks going out in this beautiful business while also still being able to feed your family every day and not kind of lose sight of what's important, the food being the catalyst for connection.
Yeah, so it's hard. Like, you're in it, and when you have young kids, I remember them being wrapped around my legs, and you're in the kitchen, and I'm like sticking them in high chairs and feeding them puffs because that was like, I always used to call it the appetizer because I'm like, they're starving as soon as you come in the door and you're like trying to get a meal ready and stuff. And I remember it was so hard. What I did to make it simpler, and I talk about this in my cookbook, is I got on the meal planning bandwagon and it makes it so much easier. I am a type A person. I need a plan. I feel so much better in life when I have a plan. And I started sitting down and I would pick out, like on the weekend, I'd pick out 5 meals and I knew I'd go grocery shopping for them. I've had ingredients in my house. As soon as I walked in, I knew, even if I like rotated, I was like, well, I was gonna make this, but this works better tonight. I had those ingredients and I had a plan. So like, I didn't have to, like, after you get done with work and stuff, like, you're out of making decisions. Like, your brain is fried. You have these kids or kid or whatever it is. You're trying to make dinner and it's hard. And so I would walk in and I'd have a plan and I'd pull it out and it was easy. Or I'd have something in the crock pot or something like that, like I had thrown in the morning or even prepped the night before and took out of the fridge and thrown it in. It was just those little things that really made it more approachable and it didn't seem as overwhelming. Like, I didn't have to stop at the store every night. I didn't have to figure out what I was making. And if I had a plan, it just went so much easier. It was easier to roll with the punches of life.
Yeah. I started doing that same thing about 2 years ago and complete game changer. It went from dinners feeling like scrambled and frazzled. And then you just make like the last minute thing, which usually isn't as healthy. But yeah, it's such a flex to like plan the meals on the weekend. And like we just, I don't know if I'm terrible or genius, but I always just do Instacart. So the groceries come Sunday evening and we are like set for the week. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it makes you just, it's like a pressure like release from your shoulders. Like it's just one less thing to worry about all week long.
Yeah, I love this. Okay, so for the busy moms listening in that are balancing business, motherhood life, what are your, in addition to obviously prepping for the week ahead for meals, what other tips do you have around food so that they can serve their families nutritiously without it taking a ton of time?
In my cookbook, I only have one grocery store. We don't have Instacart. Like, we don't have any of that stuff around here. And in my, like, fancy does not mean healthy necessarily. I'm a big fan of like sheet pan meals. Like, I have in my cookbook, I have like a steak and asparagus and potato, like sheet pan meal, or like the stuffed pepper. It's easy. It's more casserole-like, but it has like fresh peppers and stuff, and it's easy to make. Sheet pan chicken fajitas. Like, it doesn't take that much time to feed your family. And of course, I have the more indulgent like chicken Alfredo casseroles and stuff. And I'm a big fan of the 80-20. Like, yeah, it's great to be healthy and it's great to get sneak in those fresh vegetables. But I mean, every once in a while we need chicken Alfredo, right? So that's just the thing. And there's easy side dishes that are fresh. There's green beans and everything else. And it's just, I think it's more of just making that easy. My kids are like, I make a vegetable tray and they go crazy over it, right? Like just cutting up fresh vegetables. And your side dishes doesn't have to be like crazy. Cut up and make them on Sunday night and you can just pull it out and feed your family fresh vegetables. Kids love it. But the more they're introduced to it younger and it's just available and you don't have to push it, the easier it becomes as they get older is what I found out. It's just always making those like have a vegetable tray or have like fresh cut cucumbers in the fridge, different things like that. It doesn't have to be stressful. You don't have to like make them eat it, but just make it available. They'll try it eventually and things will progress from there.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. I have to share too. I love that. So we moved to Minnesota just over 2 years ago from Texas. And I think with the winters the way they are, you do need like those warm, hearty meals, just like warm your bones because it's so freaking cold out. And right when we moved, one of my very good friends who I've met here, Tanya, she gave me a Minnesota like cookbook and it was, full of like the casseroles. And I was like, oh, this is fun. And then you just start, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. Like, this is a way of life, like Minnesota cooking. And I have to share too that I have, since being here, like really getting into the meal prepping and, easy recipes for the family, it's really hard to find a cookbook like yours. And I'm not saying this to sell the cookbook. Like, I went to Barnes and Noble actually with Tanya, who was the friend who gave me the original cookbook. And I was like trying to find like easy family meal cookbooks. And I bought a couple and they were such a letdown. And so I just have to tell you that going through your cookbook, I was like, this is the cookbook I've been looking for a couple of years now. Like, truly, it's easy, it's delicious. There's fresh veggies and like everything built into it. And it's meals that kids like too. Because let's be truthful. Some of the parent meals, the kids are like, ew, what is that? So I just like, I seriously love it. It's genius.
That means so much to me because that was my goal, was to make something that you could sit down with. It was meals that your family would eat, your kids would eat. You wouldn't have to make multiple meals, ingredients that were easy to source. And then the meals were fast and easy because no one wants to stand in a kitchen for hours every night making their family a meal. I mean, if you do, more power to you, but most of us have 5 million other things going around. And it was like 30 minutes in and out that are easy, but like even then, the kids can help too. Like they're easy recipes. Like I'm big on getting the kids into the kitchen and I find that they'll eat more when they're involved in the prep and different things like that. And they drift in for 5 minutes and they drift out when they're young. It's not a big deal, but that introducing them to that and getting them curious about things and doing that, I feel like just makes them have a better palate and are just more curious naturally about food.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, $1 million question, because I'm sure you have a kajillion recipes. How did you choose which ones to put into your cookbook?
So there was a lot of like, oh, should I do this one or that one or what? A lot of them are the most popular ones in my cookbook, but I try to get like, there's chicken, there's beef, there's pork, there's seafood, there's fresh vegetables, there's more indulgent, there's soups, there's crock pot. Like, so I kind of went through all of like, I had a beef and a chicken and a pork and a seafood, and I tried to even them out. We're a little bit more heavy, of course, on like the beef. I'm from Minnesota, the chicken, and not quite as heavy on seafood, but yet I wanted it in there. So like things weren't like repetitive. And then I just kind of went through and I'm like, what do my kids like the best? What is the most popular on my blog? What do we like to make? What's quick? What's easy? What's ingredients that are fresh? You know, and like kind of pieced it together that way. So you just really get this well-rounded cookbook that there's just something, each one's just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true. Okay, let's talk about motherhood and business. Zooming out, because it sounds like you've been in business even before you had kids. So that was a shift. Talk to us about that process of adding kids into the mix of business and then like learning curves, like challenges and what you found working through that. So that, and like we said, it's always a balance and you're constantly realigning and adjusting. But what are some of the gold nuggets that you found through navigating both?
Oh man. Yeah. I went through the thick of it. I remember like getting serious about my blog about the time I had my first kid. And I was like, of course, that perfect. Let's have a newborn child and then decide we're going to really get serious about this. But the gold nugget is my husband, honestly, like bless his heart. He picked up a lot of the extras. I worked like now it looks glorious. I have a flexible lifestyle. My husband works with me. We have three kids. We're, you know what I mean? But when you stop and you think of how you got there, it was a lot of work. Like I remember sitting and nursing and I'd have a laptop in front of me. Like I remember putting the baby down for the night and I would pull up my laptop and I'd work in the rocking chair next to my husband. And I mean, it's a lot of work. It's sacrifices. It's getting up early. It's pulling out the laptop after the kids go to bed. It's things like that. And you have to want it and you have to like keep going. And I never had like some people I call them unicorns where like they're building this business and just takes off, like everything aligns and they launch and everything else. I never really had that. It was a lot of steady growth and just kept chipping away at it. But I'm so glad that I did. I'm so glad that I worked hard in the little cracks of life that you had. Instead of turning on, like I'd watch TV, but I really wasn't watching TV, right? So that's my nugget, is just the steady. Just be steady, keep showing up, find those little times when your kids are napping and doing things like that. And eventually it pays off in more ways than you'll ever know.
I love that. Yeah. I always talk about that too. Like the unsexy daily actions, that's truly what moves the needle. Okay. Question for you. What is your bungee cord? And by bungee cord, I mean the big why or like vision. Like why do you put all that time and energy into your business that motivates you when it is hard and you are doing the daily things without seeing the unicorn moment?
Family, my family, for sure. Like just that flexibility. I always say my worst nightmare is going back to an 8-to-5 job. But like I have a kid that's home today and he's got allergies or whatever. You know what I mean? But he's not feeling well. It's fine. I can pivot. It's so much easier because I'm my own boss. If somebody has a field trip, I go. Different things like that. Like the flexibility of the summer coming and the kids have practices and activities and we want to go to the lake and I can pick my laptop up and go and I can work for 2 hours and be fine. And building that life of flexibility and being able to be present at for my kids is really what did it. And now to see my husband too, like he gave up so much early on when I was really working on it, and to be able to be like, hey, you can quit what you're doing and come work with me and we can have this flexibility. And it was scary. Oh, it was so scary. But I went into it with like, if it lasts two years and you're home with us and you're working with me and we do find a point where it's better you go back to work, we had those 2 years. Like that's a solid gain in life and we'll just make it work and we'll pivot if we have to.
I love that. Yeah, that's a huge leap of faith. Is he still home with you?
Yeah. So he quit his job 2 years ago and he actually built us a house and then he like came on full time with us, and like I said, my family farms still. And so that's given him the ability, like if they need something, especially in the fall, he can go out there and work for them for a month and a half and stuff. And if you know anything about farming, that's immense and huge that somebody can quit and like go do that for a month and a half, because that's when you need them. And yeah, it takes pressure off them, and yeah, he enjoys it. So.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that is the ultimate life of freedom. Like he can choose and you can choose. And oh, I love this. So, zooming out on your business journey, what were a couple of the strategic moves that you made? Looking back now, you're like, ooh, that really like set me up to do this and into your next big step.
I think like the biggest thing was quitting my job, like my full-time job. And that really just gave me time to focus on what I needed to be focusing on and move everything forward. It was a long time coming. Sometimes you look back and you're like, oh, I probably should have just jumped a little sooner, but it was super scary. So I went down to part-time, and then I finally quit after my third kid. So I would say that's really what launched me. But also another thing was like the community of food bloggers. Like we have a super tight knit group of us, and being able to learn from them. Like one would think we'd all be in competition with each other, right? We're all trying to get the same traffic. We're all trying to rank for some of the same keywords and stuff. And of course, you have people that aren't like supportive like that, but there is a lot of us that like have been here since the beginning. We've made that connection. We have a lot of masterminds. I'm in a mastermind and different things like that. And just like being able to lean on somebody that gets what you're doing and finding that support is huge. Like making that community that like you can be like, this is going on. I have no idea what to do. And they're like, oh, been there, done that. This is what I did. And not that it will always work, but just being that support and then being open and giving that to the next person that needs it. I think that's like immense in life too, in general. And of course, business too.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, nail on the head, priceless. Being in communities that normalize what you're doing, where you're like, I'm not the crazy one who has these wild dreams and ambitions. And yeah, just like having people who've gone through it. Oh my gosh, I love that. Absolutely. Amazing. Well, tell us, where can we find the cookbook? Where can people connect with you? Where can they chat with you? All the things.
Yeah, so the cookbook is currently on pre-order on Amazon. It's on Barnes and Noble, Target, Walmart. And it will be launched May 21st. So if you place your order, you'll get it May 21st. And then I hang out on Facebook at Julie's Eats and Treats. I'm also on Instagram. That's more where you'll see the behind the scenes and like the nitty gritty and the real life moments. So you can find me at Julie's Eats and Treats on Instagram. And of course, my blog, julieseatsandtreats.com.
Amazing. Awesome. And we'll make sure to link everything in the show notes. So if you guys have any questions, connect with Julie. Okay, last, if there's like one advice or tip or anything that's on your heart to share with, and knowing that a lot of my community is moms and women in business that are kind of balancing all the things, wild aspirations, keeping their feet on the ground while taking care of their families too, what would you want to share?
I just like my biggest thing is to keep dreaming. Like people, like even when I was starting my blog and stuff, and they'd be like, oh, you're doing what? Oh, interesting. And a lot of comments like, oh, is Julie still doing that cute little blog thing where she cooks or whatever? And you can't let people get in your head. Like it's so easy to like let that like sit in there and be like, oh, like do I really want to and stuff. And it's like to let that go and to dream and be your own person, and just your why is enough. Like you don't have to listen to anyone. You don't have to do things the way they've been done for 50 years. You create the life you want and find ways to do it. There's so many unique opportunities these days that you don't have to do what others have done for so many years. And I think that's just that we're so lucky to have that right now and to have so many opportunities and just to find the support that you need in life. And I always say, cut the toxic out and like really lean into the supportive people, and that will really like move you far.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You guys should have seen my face while Julie was talking. Like, could not have said it better. It's so true. I mean, they say like you are who you surround yourself with. And if you have wild, crazy ambitions, like put yourself in rooms where people are making it happen and doing the same thing. And
It's so true. I mean, I couldn't have did this without people, like I said, like the other bloggers and stuff. We were doing crazy things. Like we were first on Pinterest, first on Instagram, and it's that like support in everyday things. And another thing is like I often like when I quit my job, everyone's like, "Oh, that's so nice. You're gonna stay at home with your kids." And I'm like, I felt so guilty, Brie. Like it was horrible. And I'd have to look at them and be like, no, like I'm still sending them to daycare. I'm a better mom if I get my stuff done and they come home and I'm done with it. I have found in life, and some people can manage it, more power to you. But I found out in my life, there is nothing wrong with accepting help and having childcare and doing your thing. Like, I am a better person all around, and that's just fine. Like, find out what works for you and don't let anyone make you feel guilty about it. Like, there's no reason. Like, I always say, if there was a man at home working, he would not be raising children at the same time, and that's okay. It's okay to get help.
yes, I always laugh too because they call it, a working mom. They never say a working dad. Like, what?
I know. And like, so I travel for this, like go to conferences and like retreats and different things like that. And everyone's like, "Oh, you're leaving again." And I'm like, never in a million years would they say that if it was my husband leaving once every 2 months. Never. And I'm always like, I just don't get this. So smile and keep going on.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this conversation is so relatable because I know a lot of women in my community have had that too. And like my story, when I told my husband my goals, he laughed at me, and not really in a kind way. And like, bless him, I love him. But it's just the, in the corporate background, it's like, this is what you do. And anything outside of that is like, are you crazy? So have you had people that are very close to you that haven't got it, quote unquote? And how did you navigate that?
Yes. I mean, I don't think, bless their hearts, that my in-laws still like, I don't think they get it. Like, it's above and beyond what they like. And it's so interesting because as soon as you come out with something tangible, like a cookbook that somebody can feel, they think that you have finally made it and this is what's going to like provide for your family. You know what I mean? It's just like, they don't get the concept of how and why and how you make your money and different things like that. And people like, I am also one like childcare, get help where you need it. I am also one that hires people in my business to support me. And I was one of the first bloggers to do that. I came from a management background. So I was hiring like virtual assistants and things to do things for me to free me up to like look forward to the next thing. And my motto is anything that doesn't need Julie, Julie doesn't do. So that's where I find like, that's how I free myself up to like start a cookbook or look to the next big thing, different things like that. So whenever you get to that point and you can hire help to embrace that, so you're free to dream about the next thing.
Have you read the book 10x is easier than 2x?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's so good. But it's right along with what you were saying. Like, you could have written that book, it sounds like. But yes, that is absolutely the flex in business for sure. Yeah, I love it. Well, this conversation was amazing. So many juicy gold nuggets. All of you guys, go follow Julie, go connect with her on Instagram, and definitely pre-order the cookbook because I will tell you, from someone who's been searching for this type of cookbook for years, that like, this is it. You're looking for easy, simple meals that your kids will actually eat and not complain about. There you go. It's here. So thank you so much, Julie, for your genius, your wisdom, your cookbook, and yeah, being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
It was so fun. Awesome. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening in. I'm so excited to hear your takeaways and to connect with you. come hang with me on Instagram at Hey, it's Brie Kane. Shoot me a DM and let me know your favorite parts of this episode. You can also peek at the show notes for more ways to get in touch, for any links referenced in this episode, or ways to work with me to unapologetically book out your business and your life. Don't forget to leave a rating and review. I love hearing your feedback, and I so appreciate your support in helping us connect and spread the Booked Out mission with women and moms everywhere. I'll see you on the next episode.